All right, everyone, here I have Chris Whalen, CPA, on board. He is based in New Jersey, correct, if I remember correctly?
Yes.
Based in New Jersey. And he can do your taxes, by the way. So for those of you who have not yet filed, you can look him up. There is a link in the description as well to his website, chriswhalencpa.com. He has various material on there. Let me quickly pause my live stream because otherwise I'll be looking at myself. Always disconcerting, you know. But how are you doing today?
I'm really great. We're knee deep into tax.
Oh, actually, I can't hear you at the moment, I believe. Oh, just a second. Yeah. Okay, that was on my end. I think
good.
I fucked up.
Good?
Yeah, now I can hear you. I apologize for that.
We're knee deep in tax season, but the IRS did extend the date to May 15th from April 15th. So that gives us a little a breather right now. So that was welcome.
Now that they've destroyed the economy, then they can hold off on robbing people for an extra month or so.
Right.
So today, mainly, we've got to talk about potential changes to the tax code, a la the emergence of the Biden honk honk administration. However, we do have a super chat, and I would like to remind people this is not super chat driven. This is basically because Chris Whalen is a tax expert. I'm trying to get his general read on tax code, so it's not so much fan participation. But there is one super chat that came in before we went live, and so I'll read this out. And this is definitely on a topic that I'd like you to speak to briefly, at least, by JD Spare. What mistakes have his clients made with crypto? What can we do now in order to avoid problems in the future? And I'm assuming a big part of that is filing, not filing, what's it taxed at, and so forth.
Well,
with crypto income.
Many people know now, but some don't, that every time you exchange crypto for crypto, that's a taxable event. And a lot of people don't know that. They think that only when they cash out to US dollars or another currency would it be taxable on your tax return. So that's very important to remember. So the mistakes that people are making when they're on exchanges that are iffy, or they get a new coin and they're somewhere, those could go away tomorrow. So what I'm finding is if you had Coinbase, fantastic, Coinbase Pro, but some of these other exchanges that went away, people have not backed up their data. So the most important thing for crypto, just to briefly state, is no matter what platform you're trading on, download your full history at the end of your session. It might take time, but that data might not be there for you tomorrow. And then the IRS will wonder, you know, you won't be able to provide the IRS with the details of your trades. And that could be a big problem. So number one, every time you exchange crypto for crypto, it's taxable, a gain or loss. And you want to make sure you back up all the data from all your exchanges every time you log off.
And if you don't do that, then you won't be hiring Chris. You'll be hiring a lawyer to defend yourself in federal court. So it's a little bit less pleasant.
Yes. And one comment from you said at the opening that we deal with taxes for a lot of U.S. citizens who are out of the country. I know you have an international audience. So we do. If you're working out of the U.S., you definitely have a U.S. filing requirement still. So please look to us for that. We specialize in that on a high level. So you can always reach out to us for questions with regard to that.
Yeah, the Clank CPA is a high roller now. But yeah, I wanted you to get into mainly, I think the elephant in the room is the change to the tax code, especially a la the removal potentially of part or all of the Trump tax cuts that we discussed, I think, last year. Now that you have a different Hong Kong, it's traditional, right, administration, actually.
Well, and of course, we have to be conservative here. We have to assume it's going to be rolled back. So I did some analysis. If he rolls everything back with some income levels, I'm going to share my screen. I made a...
And I'll have to probably put this live to make sure that it actually works. Okay. I have to add that to the stream. Oh, it's like a third person. Oh, okay. What's
Hold
it doing?
On. Tell me if you can see my spreadsheet.
Just a second. I got to make sure it collates to the actual feed there. Yeah, I can see it.
Okay, great. So what is the economic impact of the Biden-Harris rollback if they roll back the tax cuts? Okay, so I have just four examples here, and we'll go over them a little bit. So $24,000 of income, single with no kids. So they actually have, their taxes are increased by $192. So they go up by 15.36%. Everyone has to remember, they talk about taxing the rich all the time. And Trump's tax code gave a much higher break to the lower income. So let's look at single, no kids. A lot of your audience and my clients, $50,000, their taxes would go up $1,257 or almost a 29% increase, right? Married with two children. Now, this is important because Trump increased the child tax credit in certain situations to $2,000 a child, up from $1,000 a child. So we'll see here, the two children add $2,000 to, or they reduce my Trump tax by an additional $2,000. So if you look at the $100,000 couple, which is a sweet spot around the world, so their taxes could go up by $2,997 or 63%.
So, and to keep and just to clarify, this is not self-employed income or anything like that. This is just base
right
salary, basically.
And I'm going to talk about the self-employed a little bit too. And, then we'll go to a middle income family in America. And of course, there's two kids there. And so remember that prior to Trump, if you made that much money, there was no child tax credit. And so that's why there's a $4,000 reduction in tax under Trump. So if we see here, it's still a 10% increase for that. So across the board, we see how the numbers can be dire. But if you look, it's really it's bad for that $50,000, $100,000 family or single person. And people don't realize how much Trump just shows how much Trump helped those that demographic and income level. All right. So now here's some notes. So remember, tax the rich only increases unemployment in lower and middle income tax brackets. Remember, and someone who loses their job has 100% Biden-Harris tax increase. So think the 10,000 people that lost their jobs on the Keystone Pipeline recently. Well, that's 100% tax increase, right? If I have no income, I'm all tax. And I want people to start thinking about it that way. Now, remember, wealthier clients are business owners. They will not take a cut of net income. So if they have a $10,000 increase in taxes, that's going to come out of payroll. And so that also was a job killer. So every time you increase taxes on the rich, it hurts lower income. And Biden and Harris have talked about extending the Social Security over $400,000. If you earn that much, it's 12.4%. Remember, that only goes up to $130,000 now. That's a job killer. Imagine someone making $600,000, that's going to give them $25,000 more of tax if they're a business owner. So that's a job killer. And of course, the increase in the corporate income tax at 28% is a job killer as companies move back out of the country. And remember, one very important point, unrestricted immigration will only hurt lower income Americans. I'm already seeing it. Let me unshare my screen if that's okay.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, now you mentioned as well self-employment income taxes, because I know you said, I think it was a 20% write-off on qualifying income up to $100,000 if your income was self-employed,
which
for someone at that level is many thousands of dollars. It's nothing to shake a stick at.
It's QBI, it's qualified business income. So, right, for a single person, it might phase out about 100, 110, but right, you could. And this is not on your Social Security, your self-employment tax, but your ordinary income tax. So, right, you'd have $100,000 prior to Trump of taxable income. And under Trump, it became $80,000. So just apply that to average tax rates, even 15%.
And now another thing, and this is definitely one of the major questions that I had. And a lot of people, I don't think, understand this. And I don't even pretend to fully understand it either. The rolling basis of tax code changes. What specifically, if no action is taken, if Biden just sits there and does nothing, are all of the Trump tax cuts still intact for this particular fiscal year, or only some? Right. And like, which ones are actually there, and how long does it take for the meaningful ones, especially the child tax credit and the self-employment write-off, I'd say, to actually phase out?
Well, they would go through 2025. You know, a lot of the changes that he made. So, you know, and of course they'd have to be, of course he wanted to make them permanent, but they can't. So they had to have a timeline. So this would be for the next three or four years for most of it without interruption, which would have been fantastic. I mean, going back to the job creation or the job stability under Trump, in my career for 33 years now, I've never seen a time where my clients across the country, I have clients all over the country, all of them were having to ignore minimum wage laws because there was too much competition. So the lower income people were making more money per hour naturally, the way it's supposed to be. Once Trump stifled the immigration at the border, which affects lower income people more, things were naturally happening. So the supply of labor was going down, and so the minimum wage was almost not necessary around the country. It was fantastic. Now, what Biden and Harris are going to do with the border is just going to hurt lower income people and help the rich, right? If the rich get lower labor costs, of course, it helps the 1%, which everyone says they're against. But everything they seem to be doing is helping that demographic more than anything I'm seeing.
I also wanted to ask you, because I think the last time we spoke, there was one particular very specific demographic you said that could potentially be hurt by actually Trump's tax changes, which were freelancers who had business expenditures, or not freelancers, but people who like drove out to a job or something, and before they were able to write off gas or maintenance, and then they couldn't actually. Would those people actually, ironically enough, benefit under the doing away of parts of Trump's tax code?
What Styx is talking about is for employees in America, if you had unreimbursed expenses for your job. So, for example, I have a soda distributor. He's a regional manager. He makes about $120,000 a year. So he's W-2. Prior to Trump, right, what happened was he could take those out-of-pocket expenses as a deduction. So he made $120,000. He would normally have about $20,000 of other expenses that weren't reimbursed, mileage, meals, things like that. So now under Trump, that used to be a miscellaneous itemized deduction, those unreimbursed expenses. That whole category went away. So that particular group, like, for example, union workers, steel workers, for example, carpenters, they'd be able to take their tools and their uniform and things and dues. And so people like that who had a substantial unreimbursed expense number, they were hurt. There's no doubt about it. There was no way to help them. So they had almost all of them had a tax increase, even though some of the other Trump tax changes did help them, for the taxes were lower overall. So if they repealed everything, that would come back for them. So that's the one benefit I would see is for W-2 employees who have large unreimbursed business expenses.
Are there any other, what are the most major increases, assuming that these tax cuts are repealed or phased out, as you say, after 4 or 5 years, what's the single biggest increase in that slew? Child tax credit, self-employment, bracket reductions, whatever. What's the single biggest thing that's going to actually up taxes for the average American? Because, I mean, the people that are watching, largely working and middle class, for them, what would be the most meaningful? Because most of them don't have self-employed income. A lot of them don't have any kids. So,
well, if the child tax credit is brought back down to $1,000 a child, and remember, prior to Trump, you had about a married couple could only get that at about $110,000. So now it's up to about $400,000. So if they repeal everything, and that means that families, this is a big one for families making over $110,000. If it goes back to the old method, then they'll lose $1,000 a child, or now $2,000 a child. So imagine that.
Is that top or bottom line deduction?
Bottom line. So it's a real credit. It's not just a deduction. It's actual dollars that as if you made an estimated payment for that amount of money. So it's fantastic. So a couple making $150,000 with two kids in 2020 got $4,000. That same couple in 2021 would lose $4,000 real. So I think that's one of the biggest things to consider. The other thing, of course, is what Trump did, which was good, was we still have tax brackets. Everyone understands that, right? We started 0%. Then we go up to 12% or 22%. Every level of your income gets taxed slightly higher in a bracket system. So what Trump did that was good. He took six brackets, let's say, and he took 2 or 3% off of them, just reduced those, so that alone would have saved tax year over year. Then what he did, which was good, he took the bracket range and he increased the amount of time you spend in that range. Let's say we had 15% bracket under before Trump, became a 12% bracket. So when you got into the next bracket, was a lower income number. So not only did the bracket percentages change, but you stayed in those brackets longer. So you can see the exponential saving there over time, even on the same income.
Making up for inflation as well at some point. Wasn't that the reason that he upped the child tax credit, I think, because of the devaluation of the currency, if I remember correctly, and the cost of living.
And also, right, the value of the dollar, but also people's spending power in general. You know, since the 70s, minimum wage has not really increased, right? I mean, it should be around $22 right now if you go from 1972. So
you're saying that Bernie Sanders is far right.
he's right here, though. Maybe we could talk to him later. No.
His taxes there, maybe.
Well, of course, things like UBI, we talked about that. This, if we start giving people money on a monthly basis, remember, so UBI is a form of welfare, universal basic income, the Wang plan, right? So it's really welfare, because if I work at an ice cream shop and I give $5 an hour for value, I have to get $15. Well, that $10 you're getting is welfare, right? That's not an even exchange. No. So, and it also, it stops. I mean, I've dealt with more hires and employee issues than most people out there. And we need a safety net, a social safety net, but one that doesn't encumber people for the future. And that's what we have right now. When the stimulus checks came out, everyone and this extra unemployment last year, people were making more money. There was no incentive to go back to work. So I'm afraid that's going to happen if we start giving a few hundred dollars per person or child. So it's going to, again, it will hurt us eventually.
And also, it's funny, actually, because you call him Wang as opposed to Yang. That's actually the biggest mention that he's probably gotten before the audience here in the last year, considering his mounting irrelevance. I wanted to get your opinion, though. This is a funny thing, because this doesn't have so much to do with your economic finesse, it's just an opinion. But I got to hear what you have to say about Biden's idea of giving money to random people, black farmers, as a form of subsidy or reparations or whatever he's billing it as. What effect that would have potentially economically, and then maybe just your political thoughts?
Well, of course, I'm going to identify as a black farmer immediately, just so I can.
You want your slice of the pie?
Well, I think it's, you know, a lot of these things that are race-based, you know, are Democrats, you know, that's what they've done since the Civil War. You know, they want to divide the races. They want, you know, if someone gets a handout based on race or other attributes, and then, of course, people think that they're taking advantage of course, other taxpayers. Remember, there's no government money. There's only our money. So I think people will jump on that. I think I don't think in the long run it's going to help them get votes, which is what they're going to do it for. But again, it's a very negative thing for the country. I mean, under Trump, there was such unity, races. Look at the border state, you know, counties, the border counties and states with the voting there. So I think that I think that the Democrats are really out of touch with the street. You know, like my podcast is the Street Level Business Podcast. I don't know who they're talking to, but I have clients of color who hate these kind of things because it sets back they're how people perceive them, right? I have an African-American young lady, let's say, who owns a big business, and if people hear there's reparations given out, they think that she's getting them, which she's not. She's not a black farmer, but people don't know. So it really hurts all the strides we've made. You know, like everyone talks about race, and I mean, and I've dealt with tens of thousands of hires in my decades-long career. I have never seen any employer mention it or care about race. They just want someone to come in and dig the ditch at 9 o'clock in the morning. So all of that's a fallacy. There is no wage gap for men and women. That'd be impossible. I mean, and I said, I'm the expert at this. I at least right below the corporate level, there's no one dealt with more of this than me. So everyone was doing fantastic. There is no race problem. There is no gender problem. My clients, my plumber clients, if they found a transgender woman who can fix the toilet, they would gladly hire them. So that's what everyone has to realize, that all of these things they talk about and they deal with are really, that's not the reality on the street level in business.
Now, this is another question that I had. If there were any of the like George Floyd or Kenosha style riots there, have you ever had a client who was impacted by that? Like their business got trashed or something like that, and they're trying to figure out financially, like, can I write it off? My business is gone. What does this mean for taxes?
And
you've seen that personally.
Almost every town. I have clients in Portland, Minneapolis. You know, several clients there with storefronts. You've seen them on, you know, on television. So we have to deal with insurance, and sometimes like rioting's not, you know, peaceful demonstrations are not covered. So yeah.
So if a mostly peaceful but fiery protest happens and someone trashes my computer, I can't write that off.
You might not be able to. You have to look at you know, maybe an act of God will be covered, but you have to look at your policy. You know, so that's
and you do taxes outside of New Jersey. Now, that's actually interesting. I thought that people were certified at the state level for that.
Well, I'm certified at the state level, but of course, I can get licensed. You don't need a CPA to do taxes. Plenty of people just put out a shingle and say I do taxes. So, but I am licensed in all the states that I service. And so remember, federal taxes are the same everywhere, right? So we just have to know the local state level, but most people come to me, especially for high-end federal tax planning. So everyone,
another pitch here. There is a link in the description to Chris Whalen, CPA's website, actually, and you can potentially hire him to do your taxes.
Yeah. And, you know, and subscribe to my blog. There's a link there. I put out real information. I never share other people's information. I'm not blogging every day. It's very specific. So it's really worth it. I know people say that, but you might see it. I'm very specific about the topic and the subject. So delete it. I hate when people send me out their monthly newsletter in the subject. So if you don't like my subject, just delete it. We're giving real information that you can use right away.
Here's another thing that bears mentioning, and it's semi-rhetorical because I already kind of know the answer. There are some people who say that because of the totally fair nature of the elections, the right way to respond is by deliberately not paying taxes. Can you explain to people, please, what would happen if you don't pay your taxes? Don't file. You just tell the government up yours. Yeah. Just so that they are forewarned. From a tax expert here, he's going to tell you how you will be punished.
Listen, I agree that our tax system is coerced charity. You know, it's theft enforced with a gun. So, but you have to understand that you can stand on principle, but the law is the law. And if you don't pay your taxes, number one, they're going to put a lien on you. So they won't necessarily arrest you. Remember, the IRS is not they want to collect money. They don't want to put people in jail if you have the ability to pay. So Sticks, if you owed money and you're making money online and doing what you do and editing your books, they will let you work and they'll lien you and garnish you, you know, forever. So, and penalties and interest are very high. So my advice is that you have to file, even if you don't like it, because in the long run, nobody wins. Nobody wins at that game, unless you go in hiding, you know, and change your name, because your Social Security's being used, numbers being used, and once they see that somewhere, they're going to know. So file on time. This is very important. Even if you don't have the money, late filing penalties are higher than late payment. So people that they get nervous. So April 15th is coming. I have tax to pay. Still file the taxes. You can go on a payment plan. We want to get there. The IRS is more concerned about the paper, about conforming to checking that little box that Chris and Sticks filed their 1040. So don't hesitate to file, even if you owe. You can go on a payment plan with them. You can even include with your 1040 a form 9465 that requests a payment plan. Right. So that's good advice to remember. Always file on time, even if you can't pay.
I think I've paid more than I technically owed multiple years in a row just because I'm paranoid after the Lois Lerner thing. Have you ever had anyone, like a client, a business or anything like that, that got screwed, like what was being messed around with potentially for political reasons? Because remember, like Lois Lerner back in the Obama days, the IRS was gunning after conservative and also progressive groups. And it was a big thing, and I think she got canned, if I remember correctly. And there were thousands and thousands of people with complaints. Has that ever happened? Like, have you known anyone?
No doubt I have a lot of conservative and liberal nonprofits that are politically motivated. And just to say, there's probably a 40 times ratio of the conservatives in terms of audits or inquiries. There's probably 40 times more over the years on the conservative side, especially during Obama. That's true. I'm not saying why it happened, but they're both political parties, or they're both nonprofits with the same purpose. And they, if you looked at the returns or looked at the numbers or looked at their purpose, if you were only using that, it would have been even. So there's no doubt it wasn't an algorithm. Someone was looking at those returns and also what the motivations are, and they were targeted. There's no doubt about it. To me, I've saw it in real time for years.
I think the left would say, well, that's because conservatives cheat on their taxes more.
Well, I think that my clients want to be aggressive but not stupid. You know, so that's, we want to use the code to the furthest. But don't forget, it's a nonprofit. So if you're using your money for your purpose, then there's no tax anyway. So it can't be for a tax reason, unless you think that you're using the money for personal purposes. Remember, nonprofits out there, you really should use probably close to 85 to 90% of the money for your nonprofit purpose, and the rest can go to admin, including paying you. Like, think of Clinton Foundation. I don't know if they're using all the money they get for a purpose. That I'd love to see. I'd love to do the audit on that one. So let me know when I could be hired to audit the Clinton.
By the way, I should probably tell people in chat, you should not claim Biden voters as dependents, because once a person's in the ground, I don't think that I think it's frowned upon. I did want to get your thoughts as well on the trajectory of cryptocurrency, because I think of all of the things, at least in the last year economically, the wild ride that is Bitcoin or crypto in general. I know I hold, and this is in disclosure, I hold quite a bit of crypto, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and so forth. I've got some Dogecoin, actually, which is more, you know, just for fun than anything else. Now, I wanted to get your opinion on where you think that's headed, any regulation you see maybe over the next year, 2 years, or at least over the course of Biden's administration. What do you think they will do in regards to cryptocurrency in a general sense, and where it's going?
When I think of crypto, I often think of that a lot of governments and central banks, you know, they feel that it's an attack on their sovereignty, which it is. I think people need to realize that's why the IRS is so concerned about crypto. It's not just some other odd thing someone's doing to skirt tax. So I think the government takes it IRS very seriously. That's important to remember. So I think that crypto right now is not as widely held as, say, other types of alternate investments like bullion and other hard assets like real estate. So we have to remember that. So I think that it can be, you know, that it can be toyed with a little bit more than if it was more widely held. But I think it's still in its infancy. I think that, you know, we have billions of people unbanked around the world. And I think we have to think about that's where crypto would really come into play eventually. So I think, and I often say this, that it's the technology where we can go to an exchange and create a currency, do a conversion into euros or dollars on the phone. So, you know, Apple Pay, Bitcoin Pay. So I think we should be looking to that, because that's going to be, I think, a very important player, right? Think about it. I think of crypto as drops of rain. It's water. And it all can be used the same way, but yet there's different types of raindrops. I think so, but we have to think, and they're all falling on the ground right now, but we have to think about the person that makes the bucket that can really hold the crypto universally and walk around and divvy up the water, right? I'm also looking at all technology companies that are working on this. So I want people to, as they're hoarding their crypto and hoping it goes up, we have to watch that technology space, because it might not come from a crypto, it might not come from a coin, right? Let's say that I invented the app that I know was going to work perfectly with all currencies, and I can make my own crypto, or I could say Bitcoin's my crypto. So I think that up until it gets more a universal use, it's what the Wild West, it's Atlantic City. We have no idea why Bitcoin's worth it. And it's not the same as gold. Gold can be used for other things specifically that we can sell our gold to a manufacturer who needs it for a real price for a real reason, right? So Bitcoin, I can't do that. So it's not the same. It isn't a store of value. I consider a store of value something that has an alternate use. Silver, gold, rental property, store of value. So I think people buy into the fact because it could go away any minute. Look at the coins that went defunct suddenly. All right, so if I have a dollar, I still could go spend it somewhere. I think it's going to be, it's fun. People enjoy it. It has an Atlantic City feel to it every day. I have people who also day trade the crypto just like they do stocks. So I hope I've elucidated some of my feelings. Did that make any sense?
Oh yeah. By the way, is it taxed the same as other incomes? Like if you trade one crypto for another or mine crypto or something, is it taxed at the same rate as normal income or self-employed income, or is there some special schedule or something for it?
Well, it's definitely passive income, not self-employment. That's good. So it's not subject to self-employment tax. But when you exchange one crypto for another, that's a taxable event. It's not just when you cash out. So every day when you're trading it back and forth, you have to keep track of those. So when it comes, it's capital gain. It's like as if you sold a stock. So if you hold it for a year and sell it, there's long-term capital gain treatment. Maxed capital gains rate's 20%. So yes, it's every time you exchange it, not just for dollars, you have to keep track of that. And that's why it's important, as I said earlier, I believe, that you need to download your transactions from every exchange you're using right before you log off. Because I need that detail eventually to calculate your gain or loss. And if you lose it, you can't properly report to the IRS and you have a problem. And then one last thing. Assume everyone, I know Coinbase has been giving 1099Ks out if people have over a certain amount of trades or proceeds. But you have to assume everyone who's thinking you're smart, you're dealing with an exchange that not well known. You have to assume the IRS is going to know you're trading. I want everyone to know the tentacles of the IRS and subpoena power, even if you think the servers are overseas, I understand you think that protects you, but you have to assume the IRS is going to see everything. And if 3 years pass, I just had someone got a notice. There's a couple of million. They got a notice for, they owe taxes, $1.5 million in taxes because they traded a couple of million, you know, back and forth crypto to crypto. They had no idea what they're doing. So this becomes a criminal case for that much money. So we have to now go back and try. He didn't make that much money. But remember, what the IRS is going to see is every time you exchange, what was the value you got, right? And they're adding that up. So you could put $5,000 in an account of Coinbase and you could have $1 million 1099, but you made $4. So remember, that's how it works. Every time you exchange, they're adding that to the proceeds you receive, like you sold stock. So that's why these 1099s could be astronomical and it puts you in an IRS problem, because if the IRS sees you owe $2,000, they'll send you a letter. If they think you owe $1 million, that's a really big problem and you really need
help. Then they send the Gestapo.
Yes. and you don't want the criminal division walking in your place of business or home because, you know, they carry weapons on their hip, you know.
Yeah. So now quick prediction from you. And of course, disclaimer, neither of us are giving any official fiscal advice on this subject. I think that bears mentioning. I always do that anytime I talk about crypto, just out of an abundance of caution for legal purposes. Where would you expect over the next year or so, or over the next couple of years, what do you think crypto will be at, higher or lower than it is, and by what margin? Because here's my theory, and maybe as a caveat to this, you can tell me if you think that you agree. I think that the bellwether for where crypto is going was really when PayPal started delving into it. I think that as more rich people and big corporations, Tesla, PayPal, whatever, buy into crypto, it gains more mainline acceptance. And at some point, it even kind of goes past, not in a tangible or even necessarily true aspect, but at least in a social aspect, past things like gold or silver bullion. And potentially, because there are so many people buying in and demand is much higher, but supply only inches up a little bit, I think that especially Bitcoin prices potentially soar. That's what I've believed for some time.
If the political situation in terms of how the government feels about crypto stays the same, I would agree with you. But I think that the government is racing, trying to see how to control the information because they need to be able to tax it. This is the problem. So as I said earlier, if I were in charge of the Treasury, if I were the president, and if I was worried about my country, I would make it illegal and think that it's an attack on our sovereignty. That's what it really is. So you have Bitcoin, we can trade it all over the world. It's hard to then track, but there's no way to keep track of it really, of these other coins. There's no way to track it for tax purposes. And we can't have that. And so it depends what the government does. If they let it go and if they don't care. But I think that if everyone should watch the government, the regulations or proposals, because they're working on a digital currency now in the country, but that still would then, they can negate all others. So if the government cracks down, we're going to have a problem. I think that we if it does go up or down, we don't have any reason. Until we have that step where mom and pop can have it on their phone to get a cup of coffee, right? If we're moving towards that and we see that coming, then sky's the limit, of course. So we're waiting. I don't know how far in the future that is, but I think that people like Bitcoin, especially with taxes increasing. I think it's all about enthusiasm, right? It's not even the stock market today. Remember, what is the stock market worth? What's Google worth? 100 years ago, if I had a share of GM in my hand and it was worth $2, that means if I broke up GM and sold everything, I'd get $2. That's how it's supposed to work today. So that's also Atlantic City. So it's based on enthusiasm and news. So I think that with the taxes, if Biden does roll back the tax increases, I think that's very good for crypto. People want to hide money. They want to put money out. So it's going to bring many more players into it. So the more people are in, there's more demand, right? So demand increases price. So that's what I look at. It's a product to me, right? It's like a blender.
Do you think that they would actually attempt to ban crypto though? Because now that it's gained acceptance with the elite, the rich, the political donors and corporations and banks and so forth, I would think, wouldn't it be a bit beyond reproach? Like, they might regulate it. They certainly will tax it. But do you really think that they would actually attempt to screw even the people that basically, let's face it, kind of at least co-own them?
Well, I think that if it's deemed to be a real problem, a potential problem with debasing our currency, and also where we have transactions we can't trace, and there could be billions of trillions of dollars cut right at stake here. So I think people should realize that it's a lot of money and there's going to be a lot of taxes lost. So the more people, like you said, the more people use it, the worse that problem gets, right? So I'm just always conservative. I'm always looking at, I have crypto. I'd love it to keep increasing, but I just want everyone because everyone gets excited. It's very emotional. We had the big craze, a few years ago with Bitcoin, everyone's cashing out. So we don't know what's going to happen. So I'm conservative. But remember, my advice is, diversify, right? So I love rental real estate. So my main assets are real estate. So I urge people to diversify, have crypto, but also have hard assets. Rental real estate investment properties are fantastic. They're real. We have a control over their value. Think about how good rental real estate is compared to the market in crypto, right? I can have a townhouse next to me that someone else owns. I'm renting it, or I'm going to sell it. I can increase the value with my effort. The market is controlled. I don't have a correction of 30%. So don't have all your eggs in one basket. Stocks or bonds, not all there, not all in crypto. Definitely had some hard assets. The rents are going up. Landlords are booming around the world right now, and all my landlord clients. So jump on that, because remember, real estate, rental real estate always beats the market in the long run, because I can get cash out of it and cash income without having to sell it. Think, if I have Google and I want to get money out of it, I have to sell it. Whereas rental properties, when they're paid off. So it's a very good strategy. It's not Animal House when you rent things out. So I'm a big proponent. We do a lot with analyzing commercial properties in a big level and individual properties. So I think that's my feeling about crypto in the future.
Yeah, it's funny, because when you're talking about renting out properties, actually a handful of people that are vaguely left wing watching rattle their swords, presumably.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, it's funny. But yeah, I don't know. It's I don't know.
There's a war. There's a war on landlords being waged by YouTubers.
Right.
Left-wing YouTubers.
Yeah, but you know, then of course it's more a handout. So we're going to defer your rent, defer mortgage payments. So it's just UBI. It's more welfare, which is bad for the.
Yeah, government. What's actually happening with that? Did they suspend? I know that evictions aren't they banned at the moment or something like that?
I think that's expiring relatively soon. So I think that they might extend it. But like we have to let things crash. Like in 2007 and 2008, we had the bailout of the banks and everything. But I had it was ridiculous. If everyone remembers back then, there were bad loans, right? Bad mortgages are at the core, and there's derivative markets. And suddenly we had all of these loans that were on balance sheets and this domino effect. So instead of bailing out the banks with trillions or making banks fold, all we needed to do, because the banks made a ton of money in the 90s and early 2000s on all these loans, pick-a-pay loans. So they had their pockets were stuffed. So what we should have done is to unify the country, take every residential mortgage, and we should have redone it, re-amortized it for 40 years at 3%, and it would have made all those loans good. So it would have all the balance sheets would have been suddenly profitable. We didn't have to bail out anybody. And then everyone gets a debt holiday. The whole country's unified. The banks are better off than what we went through. So, but I wrote to the White House a couple of times, but they never returned my call.
I wonder why. Back in the Obama admin?
Yeah, but so many times I'm writing to physical letters to Trump, to Obama, you know, for every president, I'm always writing my ideas, and they should. The problem even with Trump, he should have a street level person that understands what's happening, you know, with the small to medium sized business and families, just so he can pass it by someone. There's so many things that, oh, if he had just asked me, you know what I'm saying? I would have told him, you know, how to fine tune it for the demographic I deal with. He's still a billionaire, you know, he's still billionaire class, and he did help, believe me, he helped lower middle income more than anything. But I wish there was a small to medium sized business czar that was on his on the cabinet. It would really help sometimes.
And one other thing that I wanted to ask you, actually, what was I going to ask you? Oh, yeah. What do you think will happen over the next couple of years with regards to the economy as a whole? Are you predicting and tentatively? Under Biden's proposals, assuming that he goes forth with, as Kamala and him have said, repealing the Trump tax code and everything else, do you believe that there will be a recession and or general economic problems? Or do you think that it manages to continue at least somewhat climbing up?
Well, I get that question every day. And I'm sorry if taxes increase to the level across the board, as we discussed earlier, then there's less discretionary income. There's less money to spend. Right. So the government's not going to increase the GDP. So you have to have, if I have a 10 to 15% reduction in income and an increase in taxes for people, zero to $200,000, of course, and if I have someone making $200,000, it's going to be $3,000 less in their pocket. So budgets are budgets. So every time you have a tax increase, it has to hurt the economy. It has to. And I hope people aren't going to start getting into credit card, you know, credit. That's the problem. But I foresee people are nervous about Biden. He can't walk up the steps. You know, they're concerned. Regardless of people, even with Obama, people had confidence in him in a way. Trump, they had confidence as an adult man. So I think that plays into it. If something happens with him, and then remember, we have to think about Harris being president. And I'm not saying anything bad about Harris, but she doesn't have a lot of economic, a lot of history, never hired employees. So like,
don't worry. Everyone else will say plenty of bad things about Harris in your stead.
Right. So, and I think, I think if they do roll back anything, even on the people making 400,000 or above, it's going to trickle down to higher unemployment, which is 100% tax. Less money in the economy for people to spend is always bad. And that's basics. Right?
Absolutely. And then before I let you go here, any final thoughts, economics, crypto, anything like that, the Biden administration, just go on ahead.
Well, I think that the country is unified more than people think. If you watch the mainstream media, of course, I've never seen more clients around the country unified of all races and creeds and colors. And so I think that's there's a real force out there that, of course, not reported on. But I think it's growing. I've seen more and more Democrats and liberal oriented clients in the past year buying guns. Once you buy a gun, you're no longer a liberal. I'm sorry. That's sort of a, you know, and so I see them, they're waking up, you know, they're waking up to now with Biden remorse. I think Biden remorse is going to continue. I see it with my clients. What's happening now is I'm doing 2020 tax returns, and now being conservative, I'm assuming for this client, say in front of me, okay, Biden's going to roll back the Trump tax cuts. What do your taxes look like in 2021? And there's a bunch of red, just like we showed before. And I said, oh, just happened yesterday. Your federal tax was $30,000 in 2020. I estimated to be $37,000. If just being conservative, assuming they're going to be hurt. And these are someone making over $400,000. You know they're going to get an increase. So it's a business owner. So predictions are, I think the midterm elections, I think we're going to see hopefully a bloodbath for RINOs and Democrats. I'm very happy what happened with all of the election that, complete fraud. So the three branches of government are, of course, are just full of tyranny. We know that. The fraud was very clear and the courts ignored it. When I saw Roberts swearing.
We're actually not allowed to talk about that particular subject on YouTube.
I'm sorry. Pardon me. Scratch that.
No, it's that the election, just say Hong Kong. The election was totally fair and people understand what you mean.
Right. So now tax planning becomes very important. Of course, things haven't been rolled back yet, but please, my last thing I'd like to say is families, business owners, everyone, be very conservative right now about your spending. Like I said before, you need to understand you might have a 15% tax increase coming up. Murphy in New Jersey, there's governors want to increase taxes there too. So tax planning becomes very important. We don't know how much net discretionary income you're going to have until you sit with someone like me. So that's the last thing to say. Talk to your tax advisor, or if they're not suited for it, call me and I will tell you, just like I did for my other clients, what is the impact of Biden's rolling back on you so you could plan for your family?
And again, this has been Chris Whalen, CPA. There is a link in the description, actually, to his website. You can hire him to do your taxes, potentially. It's a pleasure as usual. Glad to have you aboard and very enlightening.
Thank you, Sticks. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening.
You got to do peace out before we can end.
Peace out.